Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 22. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We're in the book of Luke in chapter 22 this morning. We talked about the first portion of this chapter when we were together the last time. We're going to pick up that study and dovetail into the second section as we have opportunity here today. It is an interesting passage in its own right, for much ground is covered. This is a chapter where the Lord institutes the Lord's Supper, which we in fact utilize this passage in this observance of it many times. So to take it as we did a couple weeks ago and see it in its context with the before and the after is helpful, because Jesus had a heart that really wanted his disciples to be near him as everyone would want their loved one near in a time like that. His is a time where he's under the shadow of the cross like he never had been before. And he says in this passage that with great desire he desired to eat that Passover with his disciples. It's important for us to recognize that we can derive encouragement and strength from one another. The Bible says in verse 28, "You are they which have continued with me in my trials." That makes them very precious, especially in a time like he was in. He says, "And I appoint unto you a kingdom." And there it is. They've been looking for that. You know, where's the other shoe going to drop? Are we getting a kingdom or what? "I appoint unto you a kingdom." And you need to recognize the way this passage unfolds from here on out is he will talk about a kingdom. Then he will talk about a king, and then he will talk about a coronation. Now, when we look at this, you see him talking about a kingdom right out of the gate because, well, he knows his disciples' hearts. They were just talking about who's going to be greatest for a minute. He said the greatest is going to be the servant. He set them straight on that. You've got to be as the younger man, even though you're the older. And it's kind of interesting because the Bible teaches us that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Many times the older man in Christ has a younger heart than the worldling. Because that world's young man is sometimes worn out early because sin takes its toll, doesn't it? But the Bible says that the inner man is renewed day by day. And some of us have that spryness that we still think we're 40, okay? We still think we're 40 when we're in our 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever. It's just amazing to consider. You'll read something in the paper, a grandmother of 60 did this, and you're like, okay, you see one thing and then you think, oh yeah, that's me. You're thinking, well, I was at that age. But you don't feel that age because something inside of you is renewed day by day and the Lord himself sees to that. Why? Because he's going to take as much out of us as he can get if we'll give it to him. He'll utilize you. He will use you if you will let him use you. You have to get yourself into circulation because the Lord shows up when we're in the lean moments, when we don't know what to say, what to do. Many times if we're out in the highways and byways, God will give us the protection we need to make sure that we can serve in a manner pleasing to him and useful for his kingdom. He says in verse 29, "I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table and in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Understand that they have a special role, and so do we. These men are not in the church yet, but they will be in about 50 days. You know, at Pentecost, when the church is born, these guys are they're kind of like the maternity ward, okay? They're getting all these people to come forward. They're getting the gift of tongues and telling people in their own languages, which is what tongues is. They're telling them in their own languages that they, in fact, can be saved, even in spite of the fact that they crucified the Lord. What a message that is, right? If you can be saved, even though you were part and parcel of saying crucify him at the most critical moment of human history, then anybody can be saved. I just want to say, I don't care where you are, Jesus loves you and he wants to save you. If you still have breath, then you have hope. God is long-suffering. We sing about it. You're rich in mercy and slow to anger. You know, that's a song. We just sang it. And I say to you that we need to remember that message because sometimes we're harder on others than we would be on ourselves. And sometimes we're harder on ourselves than we ought to be when it comes to the issues of salvation. People need to run to Jesus while they can. If there's not enough signs that we talked about last time we were together, if there's not enough signs of the times right now for people to recognize, then they just ain't looking, I gotta say. He says that you may eat at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, this is just a little glimpse behind the curtain of what's coming. They don't understand it fully yet, even still, but it probably just gave them a little buoyancy to think kingdom. And by the way, it ought to give us a little bit of buoyancy to think kingdom. I don't care what's going on out there. The truth of God is forever settled in heaven. Not one jot or tittle will fade away till all be fulfilled. Jesus is coming and He will set up a physical, literal kingdom on earth. We have been praying for that for 2,000 years. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's coming. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. And if you're saved this morning, you're going to be there. And you're going to be ruling and reigning too. The Bible says, if you suffer with me, you'll reign with me. But I do think some people might be on the bench in a sort of a not quite a obvious position. You say, well, why? Well, because I've kind of seen the 50,000 feet view of this thing. And I've seen that Dan and I've seen that Ephraim didn't get to participate in the 144,000 in the book of Revelation. They were benched, but they were back. When the kingdom dawned, they were back. Okay, they got their places back in the kingdom. And in Ezekiel, in the new millennial temple, which is going to be impressive beyond words. It's going to be a huge landmass that's going to be taken over by the Israelites during the millennial kingdom, which is the kingdom come that we talk about. Jesus will be the primary king in that city. And he will be flanked by none other than David himself, which is very interesting to ponder. The Bible talks about David being part and parcel of that whole thing. It tells us about David's reign, which is really kind of unique in its own right. 2 Samuel 8:15 says, "And David reigned over all Israel, and David executed judgment and justice unto all his people." That was unusual. No other king got that moniker to his name. David was a good king until he wasn't. You know, that's the thing about us, isn't it? We get a little victory, a little giddiness. Oh, this is great. I got this going on. Next thing you know, you've just completely gone sideways. You've steered out of the lane. You've said all the things you got to say about somebody texting and driving, and you do it for 1 minute, just 1 minute, look down there, and all of a sudden the car's coming over the hill, and you almost get swiped or something. You know, life is like that, isn't it? It has a way of humbling. David's going to be there. The Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 3, "Incline your ear and come unto me, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you." This is an invitation for salvation. "Even the sure mercies of David." What are the sure mercies of David? Well, he fell with Bathsheba. He fell in the occasion of Uriah, and he had blown it completely. His vitality dried up, but then Nathan the prophet confronts him. And after Nathan confronts him, "Oh, I'm the man." And he says, "You've given great cause for the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Nevertheless," praise God, "nevertheless, the Lord has put away your sin." And David takes pen in hand when he gets a moment. And he pens the words in Psalm 32 and Psalm 51 about his repentance. And he says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, murder and adultery. Can they be forgiven? Yes. But what happened to David? Well, he wasn't ruling the world with justice and judgment as he once was. He was walking with a limp for the rest of his life. He was walking with his head bowed and his heart broken. He reaped the consequences of his sin fivefold. He had children that were, one raped his sister and the other brother killed that brother. And then that brother was run out of town. Next thing you know, that brother's coming back and staging a coup. His whole world was a mess. And all David could do in his mind's eye was think, "I've got to get back to my study. I've got some psalms to write. I don't care about this crown. Fully on the crown." Because he knew he couldn't handle the crown. I think America's found out they can't handle their freedom very well. They told them out the day when they came up with the Declaration and Constitutional Republic. And, "Well, Mr. Franklin, did we get us a republic?" He said, "Well, we got you one if you can keep it," right? You've heard those words. Well, we're not doing so well at keeping it right now, are we? Our freedoms have become licentious. and we've dismissed and extinguished God from our mind's eye. We've asked Him to leave, and He's been accommodating us, and we're getting flogged for it. Our walls are down. Our gates are being invaded. And it's because, as a country, we have forgotten God. Licentiousness is a problem. 9/11 is a reminder. When you see two towers coming down, and all kinds of theories abound about what happened that day. But all I can say is, no matter who did it and how it was done, God let it happen. And we're living in a time right now that is as insidious as any time I've ever seen, or of any time I've ever read about, where the enemies are within the gate, and maybe even in the halls of power. What I'm saying is that it's not an easy thing to be kings, is it? You say, well, I'm not a king. Yeah, you are. This is a government for the people, by the people, and of the people. That's why we have the opportunity to weigh in and vote, and it's our responsibility of who we put in there. Our local school board is our fault if it's bad, because we were out chasing butterflies and not worried about who was going in there. We don't even know who the name is of those people on the banners that we drive by. Vote for so-and-so. All we know is we saw that name, or we know a guy by that name, and name recognition is 60 or 70% of the vote, right? It's people that I know them. I'm telling you guys, the local government, the state government, the governors that we have, they're our responsibility. You say, well, I voted properly. Good for you, and you did what you should, but it's still a collective of kings. Because the guy who has no regard for God can vote what he wants to vote. And what I'm saying to you is there's coming a day when there's going to be a kingdom wherein righteousness abides. It's going to be a good day. And because of what he said right here, we know that it's not just going to be a day where righteousness reigns among the people because people have gotten their minds around goodness. It's because Jesus himself will rule and reign with a rod of iron. He will immediately put down iniquity. And guess what? If we rule and reign with him, we're coming with glorified bodies apart from sin. We're going to make the right call. We're going to understand things immediately. We're going to have glorified bodies, the capacity to involve ourselves and interject ourselves in our world. The women will train the other women in those days. What do you think you're going to be teaching the women of the millennium? What do you women think you're going to teach the other women? You see, we live in a day where it's all, oh, your men are equal with men. No, we're not. We're not equal. That wouldn't be any fun at all. In fact, I'd just stay home. We're equal? My wife has got so much that she's got going for her that just draws me to her. And she's a blessing and makes me a better man. And I'm telling you, you ladies, you have a responsibility. The girls today are our generation's fault if they're not doing what they should do. Okay, that's just what it is. We started it. And it kept getting worse and worse. We picked up the baton. We took a little further down the road. So you got to see this kingdom for what it is. Glorified people. The Bible says in verse 9, chapter 30, in Jeremiah, it says, but they shall serve the Lord their God in that day, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Didn't say David's seed. The Lord God's already been mentioned. That's David's seed. That's Jesus. Some people like to say, well, that's even David's seed or whatever. Somehow they're trying to make it his seed, not him. It says, no, he's going to raise up David. Do you know David's going to be there? Okay. Blessed and holy are they that have part in the first resurrection. It happens that in a double stage, you've got the rapture, which is stage one, and in 7 years, he comes back for the spirit of just been made perfect, and all the saints that have been martyred during the tribulation, and everybody's going to be there, and it's going to be a wedding, okay? It's going to be a wedding feast. The bride is the church, we're Christ's bride, and then all of those just men made perfect, like Moses and Elijah, and all those, they're all going to be there. And the Bible says in verse 30 of Luke 22, it says, you're going to sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.